Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to chapter 40, verse 27. This is actually the Haftorah for Lech Lecha. And I had mentioned to you that the verse 26 is kind of the end of the Haftorah for Shabbos Nachamu. And it's an interesting idea, the verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes and see who created this world. There's an idea that when sometimes by looking at the beauty of nature or the vastness of nature, a person can sense Hashem. Sometimes looking out on the water, in other words, a person just has to like lift up his eyes and think, who created all this, right? Sometimes we're not used to like looking at the world and, you know, just thinking about Hashem, and a person can increase their faith by looking, you know, looking at in the world that way, and looking at different phenomena that we see. A person can see Hashem. We sometimes get confused because there's so many Gentiles that look in the world and don't see Hashem. But sometimes people choose to be blind to it. They don't want to see. They don't want to know that there's a Creator, because if there's a Creator, that means that they have obligations, and then they have to ask whether they fulfill those obligations. And a person would rather not see that. But we believe in Hashem. We can see Hashem in nature, that's how the Haftorah ends. 27. Lama Somar Yaakov Tedaba Yisrael. Why should the Jewish people say, Nista Darkei Hashem, Hashem doesn't see me. Maybe Hashem has forgotten about me. Umelokai Mishpat Yavor. And Hashem like just passes over me. Sometimes a person feels estranged. When the Jewish people went into exile, they felt, in the land of Israel, there were miracles every day. You could go to the Beit HaMikdash, you could feel like an intense sense of Hashem, and if you wanted to, you could see miracles. There were 10 miracles every day in the Beit HaMikdash, and a person had no questions that Hashem was with them. Once we've gone into Golus, where we live amongst the non-Jews, sometimes a person feels, maybe Hashem doesn't notice me. So that's what he's coming to address here. Verse 28. Halo yadat. Don't you know? Im lo shamata. Haven't you heard? Elokei olam Hashem. Hashem is out in the world too. Hashem wasn't just in Israel, in the temple. Hashem is the God of the world. Borei ketzos ha'aretz. He created the four corners of the earth. Lo yoyes. And you might think he's tired. He's ran out of energy. He's the God of old, but is he the God of new? Chas v'shalom, Hashem doesn't get tired. Below Yiga, and he doesn't keep on working. Ein cheche l'svunaso. There's no limit to his understanding. Something like this in the, I think it's in the Yigdal, where we have similar words. Ein cheche, the wisdom that's embodied in the events that happen. We can't figure it all out. There'll be times that we just can't get to the bottom of it, but that we know that it's there and we can see the wisdom. There's so many things in nature that if they wouldn't be there, people wouldn't exist. Whether it be the way the body has of rejuvenating, or sometimes when a person cuts themselves so the blood clots. If a person's blood wouldn't clot, he'd be in big trouble. But who did that? That's Hashem. He makes the body heal itself. And there's just a number of things, the cycles where things grow, and then they, after they're harvested, they regrow and they get the nutrients. And every system in the world really has a huge amount of wisdom. Now, sometimes we, especially in the exile, we work. We're tired. We're tired of the we've tried things before. There are certain things that are frustrating, that take a lot of energy. So here Hashem says that he gives us new strength. When you think about it, at the end of a day you're exhausted. how is it that you wake up the next day and you have energy? Like, what happens there? I mean, you were totally exhausted and spent and nothing changed. You just lie down and Hashem, nosein la yoyef kayach. Hashem gives people that are tired. He gives them strength. And it's an interesting thing how certain people who, there's no reason that they have so much energy. Like, you meet people, I'll never forget, I met the leading rabbi of the previous generation was Rabbi Eliezer Shach. And I met him, he was in his 90s. He was a short, you know, older man. I'd never met a man who was quite that old. I felt like he had more energy than I did. It was just an amazing, I couldn't explain it. He was just like, his eyes shined, and he had just such, it was just like just an amazing feeling. But I couldn't get over it here. At that time, I was in my 20s, and he was in his 90s. And I just felt like there was just such an energy there that was just, but Hashem gives people energy. He gives them, sometimes you wonder, well, how could certain people have energy? They're younger than I am. How do they, they're older than me. And how do they have energy? The answer is Hashem gives people energy. And you can ask Hashem for energy too. Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel like doing anything. You ask Hashem, give you energy. No sin, let you ask. And even people that are tired, He gives energy. And, Le'ein onim atmaraba. And the people who don't have strength, that's no problem. He gives them strength. These are things that are in Hashem's control. 30. Vayafu narim. Now, there are young people. Young people, you expect they do have energy. Sometimes it's quite the opposite. It's the young people are the laziest. Vayafu narim vayagiu. Uvachim kashu. And they stumble and they walk. Energy is in the hands of Hashem. 31. Now, we all had energy, but we used it. We're tired out and we're worn. So here it says an interesting concept. Vikave Hashem, those that hope to Hashem, yachlifu koach. They get a new energy. I saw one of the commentators said it's like you get a new battery. You know, like you get a new charge. You get a recharge. Those that hope to Hashem, they have faith in Hashem. Hashem will give them a new spurt of energy. Yachlifu koach. And if you want to know how fast they go, you ever watch a bird, it's not moving, and all of a sudden it flies. And it disappears real quick. It, like, gets a burst of energy. Quick as an eagle, right? That's what he describes here. Yalu Averin Kinesharm Yerutsu. Well, birds don't seem to get tired. If they would tire, they would fall down, right? They're constantly moving their wings. Yelcho v'lo yafu. And so those that hope in to Hashem, even though they're tired out and they've used up all their energy, they're going to get new energy. And they'll be light as eagles, and they'll be able to go, and they won't tire out. So that's the, we can daven for that. Sometimes we feel like there are things we want to do, and we can't bring ourselves. Ask for energy. Ask for the strength to do things. Ask to get a recharge, to get some new batteries. Like those that hope to Hashem, they will find the energy, and they're. They all talk about, it's interesting, the Holocaust survivors went through unbelievable horrors. They lost everything, and they came here with barely the shirt on their back, and most of them were successful. It's very interesting. Most of them in this country, or in many countries, were successful, and some were very successful. A very high percentage of them were driven. I suppose if they were driven to survive, but they had nothing. They didn't speak the language. They came here. They were broken, and they picked themselves. It's one of the minor miracles of us. We knew that most of us are Americans, at least all of us here are Americans, but they existed in our society and they thrived. And considering where they came from, it's absolutely amazing. How could they live after what they've seen and learn a new language and a new culture, and they worked hard and they built themselves up, and many of them were charitable. In the Jewish Community Center, in the middle of a baseball field, there's a guy donated millions, Holocaust survivor. You know, because he wanted to, it's such a shame that he wasn't focused on what, you know, the what to really do. In the middle of the baseball field, they have the Eternal Flame, and they have, a Holocaust museum at the Jewish Community Center. But, he obviously made enough money that he could think about, you know, making Holocaust memorials in the middle of baseball fields. You know, that was a but the idea, though, is that Hashem gives people strength. These people, they wanted to rebuild, and they didn't take life for granted. They realized that every moment was precious, And they asked Hashem for the strength to do what they needed to do, and Hashem gave it to them. And that's something. I mean, had they all been refugees, their whole, we still in our country, we still baby certain minorities because they were once slaves or they went through difficult times, and they can't be expected to thrive and to survive and to exist in our society, and therefore we have to give them all kinds of benefits, and we have to do all types of things. People need to be encouraged to make it on their own and to ask Hashem for the strength. And like I said, the biggest thing is where these Holocaust survivors, they by and large, most of them manage in a new country, in a new place, after undergoing the worst, the most horrors that anybody has ever seen. When we grew up, we just took it for granted. We just knew a lot of them. You know, they were hardworking people in every part of society. You just knew people, and sometimes you'd meet someone and you'd be surprised, and you'd see the number on their arm, and but we never thought of them as being any different. You know, never realized quite what they went through. But this idea that you can get strength and that you can be light as an eagle, and that you we have to learn not to make excuses. We have to learn not to, if there are things that need to be done, we can ask Hashem to give us the strength. And many of those that did accomplish in life were not necessarily strong people, people that we imagine were strong. But there was a lady, her name was Sora Schneerer. She was a seamstress, basically a poor Polish lady who used to sew. And she's the one that campaigned for Jewish education for women. She started the Beis Yaakov movement. She felt that, traditionally, now traditions don't change easy, by the way. I mean, we're following thousands of year old traditions. But in our world, it takes a lot to get people to change traditions. She felt that in modern times it was necessary, even though in previous times the mothers taught their daughters about Judaism. She felt that it was necessary to have Jewish schools for girls. And up until the 19th century, it just wasn't done. And this little seamstress, you know, but wasn't famous, wasn't well known, wasn't anybody special or unique or unusually, you know, talented. She was just a normal person, just an everyday person. She went ahead and she started the movement for schooling for Jewish women. And there were tens of thousands, maybe over 100,000 Jewish girls in schools within 30, 40 years because of her. And she really changed the dynamic in the Jewish community up in, largely when a lot of the community was starting to assimilate and adopt communism and adopt reform and other types of things. And the observant community, that was one of the changes that was needed, which was to have schools for women. My mother, she should be well, she goes to shul. She doesn't speak Hebrew because they didn't send girls to Hebrew school in those days. Right? You know, we just don't think about it, but it wasn't that long ago that it just, well, why didn't they? They just didn't. They just didn't say, they didn't bat mitzvah, whatever it was. They didn't, it wasn't part of our tradition to think to do that. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that It's sometimes people who aren't necessarily strong, or if somebody has a passion to do things for Hashem, they shouldn't let things get in their way. Things can be accomplished, and Hashem gives people the strength to do what they need to do. That seems to be the message over here. Yikave Hashem. Hashem gives you a recharge of your batteries. He'll help you fly like the eagle, and a person will, not only will they have the energy, they won't wear out. That's what it's the battery that doesn't wear out, and they can walk and they won't tire. Now he turns over here, chapter 41, and he talks to the Gentiles. Hekrishu Eilaiim, and you should be. He talks to the different states that were around the land of Israel and the different countries that were there. Hekrishu, the nations should listen and be silent. Umi miachlifu koyach yigishu. And the worn out nations, the different city states and the different worn out nations should come near, Az Yedaberu Yachdav LeMishpat, and they will be brought to Hashem for justice. Sometimes countries feel that they can get away with things that they do. We're seeing it now in Egypt, but it's a really countries always people have moments of lawlessness or of power where they feel that they can commit crimes. Now, not everything that's being done is a crime, but I'm just saying what happens is when there's a lot of violence, there's certain people that allow themselves to do things that shouldn't be done. And so Hashem is saying that all nations will have to come forward for justice. Mi ha'er mimizrach tzedek. Who is the one? Who's coming from the east? In a certain way, he's referring to messianic times, but there'll be a call for justice. Yiten lefanav goyim umalachim yered. Now, all of these kings and nations are going to have to submit to the Melech HaMashiach, to justice. Yiten k'afur charbo. Now, these kings, their power was in their weapons. They thought that they wouldn't have to listen to anybody. They had the best tanks, the best airplanes, their swords. They're going to be like dust. Okay, and their bows and arrows, they'll just break and they'll be stubble. In other words, the weapons that people feel are what gives them their power. Those in front of Hashem, they have no power. Verse 3, Yidartzeim Yavor, he's going to pursue them, and then there'll be peace. Or Barakolo Yavo. And he's going to make a path, even places where people have not gone before. Verse 4, Mipol Va'atha, Kori Hadoris Mirosh. Who is the... At that time, people were going to wonder, where is this coming from? Who is doing this? So, Ani Hashem Rishon, Hashem, who is the God who created the world, there'll be a time when people will come to see that. Ve'esachronim Anihu, he was the first one around on the scene, and he's going to be the last. There are many different beliefs and many different systems that have come through history, and people will appreciate that Hashem is from the beginning and he's from the end. Ru'aim, and people who are on the far off islands, you know, in the islands, people kind of think that they're distant from everything. They're also going to be afraid. The Yira Kitzah, and people on the corners of the world, Yakwadu, Kiru Yasun. In other words, there'll be a time when there'll be a call to justice and to serving Hashem, and then all of a sudden, all of these different nations and places are going to be afraid. Now, verse 6. Some people learn this as referring to these Gentile nations, that the United Nations will come together to help each other. Some people say that the refers to like Gog and Magog, that there's the idea that the different nations of the world will come against Israel. We have no problem seeing that because we see it already. You know, just listen to what the EU talks about and the United Nations talk. I just saw on the internet today that Ban Ki-moon or whatever, he admits that the UN is full of anti-Semitism, and you know,
he admitted it.
Yeah, but it's obvious. That's all they do is sit and talk about Israel all day. In other words, the Arabs, they kill each other, they butcher each other, people do whatever they want, and you know, what do the people worry about? They worry about human rights in Israel. It's like such a so for us, the idea that the nations of the world will come against Israel, you know, the EU made a ban on they're doing a boycott on Israeli produce that comes from the West Bank, conquered territories, right? Out of all the countries in the world that seek to punish or to try to, so they're going to lecture Israel about, you know, the produce from the West Bank. But so we're used to that, having nations of the world come against us. But they help each other. They help each other fight. So there is an idea that in the Messianic times, the nations will make a last stand, that they will come against Israel, and they'll fight against the Mashiach, and they'll fight against Israel. And so this would be these nations support each other, even these nations that hate each other when it comes to fighting Israel. All of a sudden, we see that now. It's a funny thing, you know, during all the Israeli wars, you know, you had Egypt and Iran, and they were unanimous against us. And so you might have thought that amongst the Arabs they love each other. And now you see the truth, they really hate each other. That was just, when it came to fight against us, then they were, you know, then they were together. But they really hate each other. But when it comes, so this verse kind of says that, Ish Esra'eu Yazra'eu, they'll help each other, love you. So they learn this refers to the Gentiles. Other people interpret this differently. They often quote this, just take it out of the context, but there's a basic idea that we are here in the world to help each other. Ish Esra'eu Yazru. One man should help you help another. If you have extra, if your neighbor needs something, you know, it's a basic need of society. Ula Achiv Yomer Chazak. The Hebrew, this constant, the idea that you tell people to strengthen themselves. In English, it just doesn't work. We would say encourage. That you would tell, you encourage people. Each person should see it their role to encourage others. There are many people that have hard jobs, difficult things, and you can encourage them. That makes all the difference. So one person should say to the other, Chazak, you know, strengthen yourself. That's something you could do. Verse 7. Bechazek Choresh Esetzorif. Sometimes when people work against each other, the world is destroyed. But when they help each other, one craftsman can help the other. The craftsman can help the smith. A machalik who can help the guy that hits the hammer. A sa'olam pam omer ledevak tov. There's another guy that does the cementing. Kaseh mismorim v'lo yim. If people work together, we're going to get to this theme later, that if people, instead of making weapons of destruction, would look to make the world a better place, you can imagine what all that technology would do. And, you know, mankind doesn't advance. You know, we started the last century with, you know, World War I and World War II and the Cold War. And so everybody thought, okay, we're done with all that. So now what do we have? We have the Arab Spring. Yeah, they're just butchering it. And Africa's the same thing. It's just constant warfare going on. And we're very fortunate that we are where we are right now. It doesn't, you know, Leon Hara, you know, there's no war going on as far as we can see in the United States, so we hope not. But a large part of the world where they're just, people are not working together, they're just destroying each other, eating each other up for no reason, you know, look what's going on in Syria. There's, you know, all of a sudden, at any given place, there's different minorities and different groups, and they, instead of helping each other, they're fighting. Verse 8, Va'ata Yisrael Avdi, and now the Jewish people, Avdi Yaakov, my servant Jacob. The two names are often used, Yisrael and Yaakov. Yisrael is when the Jewish people act holy. We're called Yisrael, like we struggle with mighty beings. We struggle with angels. We overcome the forces. Whereas Yaakov comes from the word heel, he's somebody who's constantly being challenged. So the Jewish people either is overcoming a challenge or being challenged. Those are the two names. And you, Yisrael, my servant Yasher Bachar, that I chose you, Zera Avram, and you are descended from Avraham, who's the one I love. Now this, by the way, that's what this is read in Parshas Lech Lecha, which is the story of Avraham. So this is a Haftorah that it happens to be that we, even though sometimes we maybe haven't earned it on our own, but we're descendants of Avraham Avinu. We follow after Abraham, and so he's the one who Hashem loves. Verse 9, Asher Hekzak Tika Miksos Oret. And Hashem grabs us from the four corners of the world, which really right now, you know, the United States is in the corner of the world. And you think, if you look at Israel as being in the middle, you know, there are Jews in Australia, there are Jews in Africa, there are Jews in the U.S. From all over the world, you know, Hashem is calling out to us. We had three families from Atlanta that decided to make Aliyah last year. At least three, right? And, you know, they were comfortable. They could have lived here their whole lives. Nobody would have ever, not every one of them was like an Israeli or somebody who, they were just regular people who just, they heard the call. So Hashem grabs people and says, I'm calling you home. And Hashem says, you're my servant. You're here to do my bidding. You're my servant. Bacharti, you were chosen. And I won't reject you. This is my... We've often talked about this, how the Christians, you know, they just their philosophy is so bizarre and so, you know, somehow that Hashem rejected the Jewish people and he chose another people, and there's just, it just doesn't stand up because it's our scripture that they're quoting. It's the, in other words, they also have Yeshua, but Hashem says, I'm not gonna reject you, I'm not gonna despise you, and I'm gonna be with you. And this is talking about messianic times, and it's saying that the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, you are the ones that I've that's my beloved. Out here, do not be afraid. Ki im kani, I'm with you. Don't worry. Ki ani elokecha, am saticha, I'll strengthen you, I'll help you. After, and not only that, if you're falling down, I'll support you. And I'll support you with my strong arm, be amin tzidkim, with my strong righteous hand. And what about all the nations of the world? Verse 11, hey nivoshu, they're going to be embarrassed, be kumbu, they're going to be shocked. Just imagine when they, you know, the people, the anti-Semites of the world, Kola Nechram Bach, all those people who fought with you, you know what's going to happen to them? You Ka'ayin, they'll be like nothing. The Yovdu Anche Rivecha, and people that wanted to fight with you, they're going to be gone. Tevakshim, you look around for them, you won't even find them. Anche Mitzusecha, you Ka'ayin, those people who quarrel with you, who struggle with you, who fought with the Jews, when the time will come, they'll be gone. Ephes, Anchi Mechamtzev, people that made wars against you. Why is that? Verse 13, Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. Machzikim inech, I'm holding your right hand. I'm holding you up. Omar Lacha Altira, and I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Ani Ezarticha, I'm going to help you. Now, a very interesting thing. The Jewish people has gone through a lot, and we feel very low. We feel that we don't have much power. We feel our situation is very challenging. Verse 14, Altira told us, he says, the worm of Jacob. We feel like we're a little worm. He says, Hashem says, don't be afraid. I don't care what you are. Masa Yisra, I'm going to help you, Nu Hashem. Sometimes we look around and we feel we're not as great as previous generations. We don't have the, it's not... there was a time when there were many righteous people, many learned people. In our generation, what do we got? Hashem says, don't be afraid. Even if you're a worm, you're the Jewish people, I'm going to help you. Anu Hashem Goleh, and I'm going to redeem you. Redeeming means when you need a whole change of situation, where something's in one situation and it's in a lot of trouble and it needs to be totally changed. So that's when it's redeemed. It's like a piece of land that's owned by someone else that used to be yours, you need to redeem it, you need to buy it back, or Hashem says, I'm your redeemer, Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Now, what kind of tools do we have? How are we going to farm? How are we going to accomplish all this? Verse 15, Hinei Samtika Lamorek, Hashem says, no problem, I will give you the tools. I'll give you all the things that you need. All the implements, all the sharp implements that we will need to accomplish things, Hashem will give us. All the weapons, all the earth machines. It's interesting, too, because the earth machines that we, the bulldozers, the Middle East was torn up by all the invading armies over the years, and some of the new farming methods that required them to use to remodel the land, they had to fix the swamps, and they had to bulldoze. And in ancient times, that would have been very difficult, if not impossible. Hashem says here that when you come back to the land of Israel, you'll be able to move the mountains. You'll have these kind of earthing tools, right? I'll give you a brand new one. You'll be able to move the mountains. You'll be able to. And you go to Israel today, and you see, you know, they have these big, you know, land-moving machines that created farms on places where that you never would have thought anything would grow again. But in the valleys and the mountains, Hashem will remove them. Tizrim, Beruach, Tisrim, and things will be winnowed and go into the wind. Ve'ata togil b'Hashem. And when you see this happen, when Hashem will allow you to remodel and rebuild Israel, you will rejoice in Hashem. The Kaddish Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, Tishalo, that'll be your praise. You will sing Hashem's praises at this time. 17. Now when you people will come back and they'll strive, there'll be difficulties and there'll be poor people. So how are we going to... You've got all kinds of people that are hungry and poor. Mevakshim mayim, and you're in the Middle East. There's not enough water. Va'ayin, and it's not there. V'lishonim b'tzama, and there's thirsty on their tongue. Nisha, ani Hashem. Don't worry, Hashem says. You worried about the water in the Middle East? I'll figure it out. Elokei Yisrael, I'm your God. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. I will. So what are we going to do? There's not enough water there. Verse 18, Eftach al Tzvasim, it's no problem. I'll give you a few new rivers. I'll open up the rivers. I'll open up water supplies. Ubisok Bekod, valleys, in the middle of these dry valleys, I'll put in water fountains. I'll put in methods of bringing water to the Middle East. Midbar, it'll be an area that was a desert. All of a sudden, La'agamayim, it'll be a place of water. It's Eretzia and places that were desert, Lamote Mayim. It's slowly happening in Israel where they're bringing the desert. There was a process for many years where cultivated areas were turned into desert. Now they're reversing that process where you can take desert and turn it back into... Israel at one time was a land flowing of milk and honey. It was a very fruitful... it has to be rejuvenated. It has to be re... one of the British had the famous white paper where they said that they weren't going to let Jews, they let the Jews die in the concentration camps rather than go to Israel. One of the reasons for the white paper was they said that it's not the land, it's impossible to support that amount of people. They said that Israel was a desert, and it's just inconceivable. Now, some of the people were anti-Semites, and they wanted the Jews to die in Europe, and they didn't want them to have their own homeland. But there were some of the British people who were not anti-Semites, who claimed to be our best friends, Winston Churchill and others. So how did they justify the white paper? They said that they have the Jews in mind because Israel just can't support that many people. They said there's no way. I think they wanted to bring 100,000. The Jews wanted another 100,000. And the British said there's absolutely no way the land was... That was 5 million ago. that was in the 1940s. Now we're another 5 million, and there's... But they said there's no way. There's just not enough land, not enough water. To bring them there would be terrible. It's like putting a person on a desert. What's going to be with them? So Hashem says that he's going to open up the water supply. The water will be there. 19. Now, what do you do if there's no trees? Hashem says, I'll put the trees there. I'll bring them back. Atein b'midbar, I'll give you cedar trees. Shita, I'll give you... Now, it won't even be one kind of tree. You'll have lots of trees. Hadas, Eit Shemen, Asim, Barava, Broshidar, Bashtar. You'll have beautiful trees. He calls them box trees and firs and cypresses. I don't know enough about trees to tell you what all these different kinds are. But you'll have a variety. In other words, the place where people... And again, we are so used to miracles that we don't even notice them anymore. But You just go back 50 years and people said it's not the Middle East. There's no trees there. There's no water there. It's not a place where people can survive. And you could go there now and it's a whole different story. You go there, they're exporting. You go to Costco and you could buy oranges from Israel. You could buy tomatoes from Israel. You could buy peppers from Israel. You go to the canned goods section in Kroger's. You can buy canned grapefruit from Israel and you can buy frozen carrots from Israel. You got to be careful, by the way. You have to tithe the Israeli produce if you take a piece for the it's because the land is and this is just the beginning. We're not living in Messianic times as far as we know. Messiah's not here yet. I haven't met him yet, if anybody knows if he is, but look at what's happened in our time without the open miracles. We have the so-called miracles that are but we just we don't even notice them, but it's a it very well describes our times. And the Israelis, they're very into Yeshaya. It used to be mandatory reading for the Israeli schools. They've gotten away from it because this was the original Israelis were somewhat into the... They used to have a big contest to study the Bible, even amongst the secular Israelis. But in modern times, I think that some of them have gotten away from it. But it's because the verses in Isaiah speak to what's happened in our times. But these trees are slowly growing back. Verse 20, Leman Yiru V'Yedu. Now, when people see this, they're supposed to know. And you know, people go to Israel and they, you know, they hardly notice it. They, you know, they look, you know, they go there, they go to the water parks, they go for a good time. They hardly notice what kind of miracle it is that in the middle of this, all you have to do is go to a different place in the Middle East and you'll see what a miracle it is. Take a look at some of the other places and what they look like. Laman Yir V'Yodu, people should see and they should know. V'Simu, and think about it. V'Yaskilu, Yasef, Ki Yad Hashem Asisizos. This is the hand of Hashem. There's no question about it. If a person doesn't have belief, he should just take a little tour. You know, go to Jordan, go to Egypt, go to Syria, go to Lebanon, and then go to Israel. And then ask questions, you know. And you say, who did this? Well, it was a bunch of Holocaust. There were people that went through the worst things that any man or woman could ever do. Who was the one who built it? The Holocaust survivors and the pogrom survivors, the people that left Russia without a penny to their names. They came to Israel and they did it. It's really Hashem did it. But a person should think about that. And with us, like I said, it should be such an obvious lesson, but it's almost because we're so used to it, we don't think about it much anymore. But a person should. Ki Yad Hashem, it's the hand of God. Kadosh Yisrael, Bar Hashem created this. Now, people have all kinds of arguments. They have all kinds of questions. So we're not afraid of those questions. Hashem says, Kirvu Rivkem, you know, you have something to say? Say it. Bring your argument. Verse 21, Yomar Hashem. Hekishu, you know, these other religions, the Christians, don't ask questions. They have faith. They have, like, contradictions, and they say, well, you can't ask. Really, they believe, they have certain things that they say, just take it on faith. In Judaism, you don't hear that kind of stuff. You know, you have an argument? Bring it here, Hashem says. Speak up. That's what the king of Yaakov says. 22. Well, tell people the truth. Tell them what happened. And let's just study history. Tikra Rishonos, let's talk about the early times. Mahena, Hegidu, let's tell it over. V'nasima libenu, and let's take it to heart. V'neida achrisan, and then we will know what will be at the end. Oh, Abbas Teshmina, and we'll hear about it. Hegidu Osis, look, tell over the signs. L'achor, tell the for a later generation. V'neida kilo kimatem. And you will know what... So, in other words, he's challenging them, tell us your miracles. Hegidu ha'osios, show us your signs. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I just didn't catch that. Yes, I see that from Rashi, actually. And 22 is when it switches. In other words, when these nations come forward and they have all their other religions and other philosophies, Hashem will say, all right, just show us your miracles, show us your signs. If you could show it to us, then we'll know that you're true gods. And could you do good or bad? Obviously, they won't be able to. And then, other people, they have their other philosophies, their other religions that they've held true. But at the end of time, they'll see that they're powerless. 24. Hein atem ma'ayin, you're like nothing. Upalchem ma'afa to Eva. And you've created abomination. Yifkar b'chem. You think Hashem is going to pick you? People are in for a big surprise. You know, even the, you know, all the fundamentalists and the Muslims, and they think that, you know, if they do certain things, they're going to go to heaven. They're going to get so many virgins. And the fundamentalists are going to do this. And then when the truth emerges, it's going to be a shock for them. And they're going to say, yeah, but we believed in this God and we believed in that God. And Hashem will say, you know, the Mashiach will be here, and he'll say, you know, all right, let's come forward, show us your signs. The gods are powerless, and what they've accomplished is powerless. And you expect to be the chosen one? Obviously not. 25. Rosi Misafim, I called out from the north and from the east, and in his name, V'yavu Seginim, and the princes will come, you know, the mighty ones, the... They'll be like clay. They'll be like putty. Kamo yotzer yirmat tit. In Hashem's hand, all of these mighty, mighty people will be will not exhibit much might. They'll be like putty in Hashem's hands. 26. Mi higid merosh, who you should have known from the beginning, or who told you from the beginning? Veneda, if you studied history and what's happened. V'nomer tzadik, you will know that Hashem is righteous. Af ein magid, af ein mashmiya. And people, nobody seems to want to tell. They don't tell about the righteousness, and they don't listen, and they don't in shemayim. They don't listen to. They haven't tried to see the truth. 27. Rishon l'tzion. But if you come to Zion, if you come to Israel, hinei hinam Yerushalayim. Now, by the way, that's what they call the chief rabbi. The Sephardis is called the Rishon l'tzion, like the head. The head in Zion, they use that name, Rishon LeZion. There's a city in Israel called Rishon LeZion.
There was a brand of kosher wine.
Oh, really?
Years ago, it was called Rishon LeZion.
Oh, that's interesting. So the name came over here, like the first one goes to Zion, and the Yerushalayim. Mevaster etan, I will give the announcement. Verse 28. The Aran, then you will see. And, you know, Einish, there's no man, no Yashki, no nobody, no Muhammad, no Me'el, they know it, Vesham, Yeshiva, Davin. They won't have anybody to speak up. Hein Kulam, Oven, Ophis, all of these people, these wise people, they'll be to nothing. Maseim, Ruach, Utahu, Nisayim, and their gods will amount to nothing. So, this is the prophecy about the end of time when the nations will come to a certain truth. And they'll come to realize that the gods that they worship were not gods and were powerless. And they will try to come against Israel. And they will see that Hashem has not abandoned us. And even if we're like a worm, Hashem is going to give us new strength. And we will accomplish things and we will turn back the desert. And like I said, we hope that we've seen the beginning of this in our time.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.